Hello!
Are you done now? Is that it? Are you done?
It's July 24th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 37 according to the Imran timeline, but 38 according
okay,
to
Okay, you can't make that joke after you just said it was July 24th.
It's June 24th, 2013.
There we go.
And you're listening to episode 38 of Nightmare.
We all have our own individual timelines.
Episode 38 of Nightmare Free to Play. My name is Brian Belita, and I have nothing witty to say.
See, that's why I was going to, because I thought you were done talking. That's why you need to do something. Anyway, after playing The Last of Us, I found out that you can make a machete even more deadly by tying scissors to it.
And I'm Mark Bradshaw.
Hi, I'm Mark Bradshaw, and I found out that you can, for The Last of Us, you can make a machete
Jesus Christ.
After tying scissors to it.
So, Mark, every time we decide we're going to, like, talk about how we introduce ourselves in what order, Mark always somehow gets tripped up. So this time we actually came in with a plan. And okay. Mark's reaction to this plan was go fuck the plan and just do whatever.
Mark is the wild card for those of you that watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He just sits in the back wearing a 40-gallon hat, dressed like an oil bear, and just goes, wild card, bitches!
I can do that. But no, you specifically said after it sounds like you've finished talking that I should go.
You have a weird... All right, hold on a second. I'm Brian Belita, and I'm joined by Mark Bradshaw.
Hi, kids. After playing The Last of Us, I found out that you can make a machete even more deadly by tying scissors to it.
Imran Khan.
After playing Last of Us, I discovered you can make a machete even more deadly by tying scissors to it.
And Matt Pierce?
After playing Remember Me, I found out that everybody must be related in some way.
After playing Remember Me, I found out that you can make memories more deadly by...
Make your relatives more deadly by tying scissors to them?
By making your relatives more deadly by... Yes, making your memories more deadly by...
apparently in Remember Me, if you die in a memory, you die in real life.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Which is... That's always... Oh, and they go Inception at the end of the game. You go into someone's memory of altering someone else's memory and then alter that other person's memory.
To trip them up about altering memories?
It's so weird.
Mm. Weird good or weird bad?
Weird unnecessary.
Apparently, if
like it just kind of happens, and it's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Apparently, if you Google autocomplete, if you type in if you die in Canada, it comes up. If you die in Canada, do you die in real life? I think you don't, but that's just me.
It's like dying in a dream.
Have you ever known a dead Canadian?
Have I ever?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I have.
You have. Oh.
My mom's family is Canadian.
Oh,
what?
So like her whole side.
Wait!
It's got dark. Wow.
You didn't tell us that you have a Canadian bloodline.
Yeah. And they're dead. They're all dead.
Did it get dark because they're dead or because he's part Canadian?
Yes.
Part Canadian. Yes.
Both.
I didn't know that about you, Matt. It all makes sense now.
Okay. I'm like two generations removed. It doesn't matter.
No, it's cool. Yeah. You're straight Jersey now. All right. Anyway, let's get the Penny Arcade shebang out of the way first. Let's just brush this off.
This week we learned that Gabe is apparently that little kid from the Kindergarten Cop.
Which one?
The little kids. Boys have a penis and girls have a vagina.
Oh, right. Yes.
Well, that's fine if you're like five and that's your worldview and you don't know any better. Yeah, all right. That's cool.
Yeah, we're not going to take the point of like busting on five-year-olds for worldviews.
No.
This podcast, at least.
No. Let's be particularly sure. There are some little shit five-year-olds out there. You know who you are. You need to get your shit together.
Man,
suckling
you,
off the government teeth and tooth fairy money.
You keep calling people little shits, Mark. I listened to the last episode, and you hated What's Her Face from The Last of Us.
I said she was being pissy. Not she's.
You're pretty sure you called her a little shit at some point.
You did use those words.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Well, she was being a little shit, but that's beside the point. My point is, there's some 5-year olds who need to get their shit together. All right.
Okay. That's fine with me. See, for me, you shit is a term of endearment between my wife and I. It's just, you little shit.
I don't want to go there. That's, yeah.
What, terms of endearment?
I'm really not sure you should have revealed that.
Anyway, so I don't even know what the whole thing is, but Gabe was, something with transgender people.
The whole thing was he apparently said something Vaguely.
I don't even know what the whole thing is. Okay.
It all started with a Kotaku post about a game to teach women to masturbate.
Oh, right.
And that was the way they phrased it. A game for women about masturbation.
Doing God's work.
Is this the rabbit thing, or was there a? Is there
no? There's like an iPhone app that's like got like the paperclip from Microsoft Word, except it's a vagina.
Okay, so apparently there
are how to master.
How many of these games are there? Because I've heard this story like once every 2 years.
Well, once every couple of years, you have to update the idea.
Is there new technology in the field?
Yes.
It seems like it's a relatively recent looking thing that was produced. It's on a different platform. Somebody made it for iOS when it wasn't.
Now,
I remember one for the Nintendo DS about a bunny, and it was like a senior designer at Ubisoft who made it.
Now, to be clear, we're talking about games and not actually like instruments, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Then. Well, it's
but
a,
at
it's
any
a,
rate,
yes.
The people in the article about this game that is only for women about female masturbation ended the article by saying how, one strike against this game is that it's not inclusive because it assumes that if you're a woman, you have a vagina, which is probably the most mild strike against that game. And that game has probably got 1,000 strikes against it right off the bat. But whatever. So Gabe quotes that and he goes, thanks, Kotaku. Today we learned something new, that women have vaginas. And then,
You're telling me different from what I heard that I thought this started when Gabe was on Strip Search, which is his reality TV show thing.
Right.
And one of the contestants
was 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And then on Strip Search, he misgendered someone.
Well,
and
one of the contestants
came back.
One of the contestants was trans, and
he
told her that if he knew she was a boy, he would have treated her differently. Which is just the wrong thing to say in any capacity.
Now, he said
I don't even know why.
Not to, like, give him the benefit of the doubt, but was he obviously joking when he said that, or did he sound serious?
I cannot tell you for the life of me when anyone from Penny Arcade is joking.
Yeah, that's a good point. They don't tell jokes very often, so yeah.
Yes. But, I mean, even as a joke, it's really off-color and probably should not have been said, but, that's a thing. Without the context of the wider issue of everything he said before and after that, it's just a dumb thing to say.
That's the sort of joke you could get away with. You could even get away with that exact wording if your tone of voice was very clear in that you completely and totally don't mean it and that it's a ridiculous thing to say.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's how most offensive comedians get away with offensive material, because the premise is, I'm playing an offensive character right now.
Right.
That kind of works if you're going in with that premise. I don't know. I didn't watch the video, so I have no idea if he was trying for that.
Well, it does bring a good point, though, in that, you have an offensive comedian playing an offensive character. Or let's say you could probably see this happening in, like, South Park, right? Because these are cartoon characters. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy acts like a cartoon character, but he's not able to separate those two beings.
Yeah. Like, it's sort of thing that works for Andrew Dice Clay, because when he goes up on stage, he is a character.
Right.
He's not a person who really, you hope that he's not a person who really believes that stuff. You hope that he's playing a character that is a caricature of offensive people.
Right.
But there are too many people who then take those jokes out of context and have no idea how wrong that is.
Well, it didn't help that if it was supposed to be an offensive, like, comedian trying to tell an offensive joke, he'd stay in character the whole time, and the last thing he would ever do is, like, defend himself. He just kept going on and on and on. And there was I forget the name of the website. It wasn't Financial Times. It's another financial website. But they put it in a very good way in their article. Penny Arcade has to do something about their Jerry Krulik problem. How do you pronounce that name?
Krulik.
But they say it was an unforced error. Like, there was no reason for this to have happened. He could have just, like, done the same thing, and just, like, not done any of this.
But defensiveness is such a, I want to say it's like a nerd trait, but honestly, I don't know if it extends beyond this circle.
You're right. It is a nerd trait.
Quick correction. It's Mike Krulik, and then there's Jerry Holkins. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get those confirmed.
He's Mike.
No, it's Gabe, because he's playing a character, apparently. Apparently, he never... I don't know if Mike exists. We know Gabe exists.
Well, they want to be able to have it both ways. They want to be the character and not be a character.
Mm-hmm. Like, when it's good things, when it's Child Play, it's not the cartoon characters that are getting credit.
Yeah.
But
when they make fun of people on the internet, they want to be able to do it in that voice.
Yeah.
Even if they're on Twitter.
Well, it's different if, like, they didn't have the ambition to be something larger. I mean, if it was just Penny Arcade, the webcomic forever, and they just wanted to do this and never rise above that, that would be fine. But they're not that. They're a corporation.
I don't know. I think we're splitting an argument a little bit here, because even if they are, like, it doesn't matter if they're being cartoon characters or people or whatever. It's still an offensively stupid thing to say.
Right. Well, that's the thing. If they just wanted to be a webcomic and this was something said in the webcomic, it could actually be a funny joke if you're trying to paint the character as a parody.
And right, and your actual statement is that this kind of thing is dumb.
Yeah, like that could totally work if the only thing they ever wanted to be was cartoon characters in a comic. I've seen some pretty, like, really foul things said in webcomics that work as jokes because it's funny in that context.
They want to be able
to pull that same humor into their everyday lives, and they don't realize that they've lost the context.
Here's a mental exercise. There's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer is homophobic. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the episode, he learns his lesson, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't matter because there's no consistent character there except beyond, you know, old-fashioned and dumb.
So is this like an existing, like, cartoon or hypothetical?
That's an actual episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, that was the one where Harvey Fierstein guest starred.
Okay.
Where he fun trivia, he only agreed to guest star because they made him a beautiful blonde.
Let's say Dan Castellaneta makes a Twitter account and starts spewing racist, homophobic shit. Right.
Yeah.
Is he still, like, representing? Is people could write that off as, oh, if you hear it in the Homer voice, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. He's not the writer. He's not the one writing the jokes.
So
if one of the writers put it up on their Twitter account where they have all sorts of offensive jokes all the time, yeah, that might actually be okay.
I don't know. I think that would still be like there's an avenue, there's a space where this is fine.
Yeah.
And that's only on that space. When you start taking it like further out, it gets less and less okay.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to like defend. I'm not trying to say, oh, even if he was just playing this character, it makes sense. But it's that disconnect that he actually doesn't understand. He doesn't understand there's that the cartoon character of Gabe in Penny Arcade is not the same person as he is. And when he makes a comment like that, then people aren't seeing the cartoon character. They're seeing him. And I'm not sure if he doesn't understand it inside of his own head, or if that's actually him. And if that's actually him, then he's a horrible human being, regardless of like spending $20,000 trying to get out from underneath.
Right.
Shit.
Yeah. We should mention that. So out of this, out of a lot of, you know, uproar and people talking, two very interesting things came out of this. Well, one not so interesting, but one that he wrote a sort of not apology and gave $20,000 to the Justin Project, I think it was, which is a LGBT suicide for high school teens charity or prevention program. And the other thing was that people started reevaluating showing their game at PAX.
Yeah.
For
like
one
Steve,
of,
yeah. Steve right. Gainer's game, From Home, I think.
It's Gone Home. Yeah.
They pulled out, like, completely, because they said it's just been a mounting amount of things they disagree with Jerry and
Mike
on. Yeah. Yeah.
Because their game deals with some LGBT issues, and I think one of their team members may be gay, or... Yeah. And so they just said, like, I think the way he wrote it, or they wrote it in the little statement on their site, the Fulbright Company, was that, you know, they asked, would anybody feel bad if we don't show our game at PAX, and nobody raised their hand.
And I thought it's strange that this didn't happen after Dick Wolves, but now I can sort of understand why, because after the Dick Wolves incident, we were kind of hoping, okay, maybe it's just a one-time thing, maybe they're learning their lesson, maybe they aren't actually like this, but it just keeps happening. They never apologized for perpetrating what went on with that.
Well, see, I think the Dick Wolves thing is... I mean, as sad as it is to say, that people like making rape jokes occasionally.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were defensive about that.
More than this, I think people are completely nuts for getting mad at the Dick Wolves thing. I think people are completely off kilter when they get mad at that. It's like he said the word rape and everyone's like, oh, that's wrong. I don't think the word was used, and it's getting nuts.
I don't think the Dick Wolves thing, like that whole original thing, was that bad, honestly, but it's the aftermath with him like saying, no, I feel okay making rape jokes. I don't care what people say.
Also, he denied the presence of the rape culture, which that everything else aside, like the joke, whatever, a one-time incident, you hope it doesn't happen because it happened in the strip. But afterwards, like, you can't defend that behavior.
That article you linked, you're talking about that financial article, it was saying it wasn't about that they made the joke, it was that people were hoping they wouldn't be the type of people to make that joke.
Yeah, right. When
especially, as I know Mark has definitely said before, they are kind of very representative of the quote-unquote gaming culture between Penny Arcade and Child's Play.
And they've done so much great work for us, and we look up to them, and it just I do, like, honestly, like, they did a lot of work for us.
It's true. Between PAX and Child's Play,
PAX existed before PAX.
But I mean, maybe that's the bad thing. Maybe they do accurately represent gaming culture.
Oh no, it was us the whole time.
Well, that actually isn't so bad because Gabe this week was saying that apparently he had no idea what trans meant. Like, he described what he thought it meant, and it was completely wrong.
Sure.
That, like, he didn't know what the word meant.
I don't know. It seems sheltered.
Going back to the $20,000 thing, that donation he made, which, okay, first of all, maybe that's good on him, regardless of the reasons, regardless of whether he's just trying to buy himself out, at least that money went somewhere.
$20,000 to buy yourself out with.
But I'm guessing that wasn't the result of a conversation between Gabe and other people trying to change his mind. It was a conversation between Gabe and Robert Koo.
You're exactly right. And none of this would have happened if it happened like 6 months before and it wasn't on the doorstep of PAX.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, now that we're mentioning PAX, we didn't bring up the PAX Australia thing.
Yes, that's as far as I remember, this is how this whole stupid thing started. I wasn't even aware of the strip search thing because the strip search thing is incredibly stupid.
I didn't know that
strip search was a thing until this exploded.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it existed.
I've watched the whole show. Like, I kind of kept up with the episodes because it was, I don't know, an interesting exercise and I liked some of the artists.
Yeah.
It was fun. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it as far as I could tell. Other than maybe, I mean, if you think that having Gabe and Mike and Jerry kind of attached to it.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird that I understand, like, they're huge and like they're biggest in the industry, so if you're like a budding artist, that's where you go. You'd be stupid not to. But it does seem stupid that these kids would trust Gabe and Jerry after seeing that. Well, Gabe and Tyker, whichever. Like I said, it's confusing. But after like seeing like their trenches strip, where they never acknowledge the actual artist involved, and if that's how much respect they have for like other artists, I don't know.
In fairness, this assumes anyone has seen the trenches strip.
That is a good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So PAX Australia.
Yeah.
Real quick. We've already given Penny Arcade more than enough time that they deserve. But
PAX Australia had a thing, like, apparently communities can do their own panels. Mm-hmm. And one community had a panel, their listing for it was like, video games should be fun. What are all these people doing, like, trying to pull all these racist claims or whatever? I don't know the exact wording.
Racist and, like, sexist. And it sounded like a reaction to the tropes versus women thing.
Yeah. It was like, you know, it's making a claim that video games cannot be fun and also self-aware.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I agree with that.
Knowing that there are biases means that you can't enjoy games.
Yeah.
Which I don't think any of these people are losing sleep over.
Right.
Like, the same people who are complaining about tropes versus women pointing this stuff out probably aren't losing sleep now that they know about it.
Honestly, those are the people who are like, oh, you can't do this to our video games. They're probably not the ones having fun.
Yeah. They're probably not. They're the ones thinking about this too much. They're the one on Reddit being very upset about all this stuff and not just playing like Bioshock Infinite, just having fun.
Oh no, Richard Matheson, the author of I Am Legend, died. Sorry, just tell that I had to say something because I Am Legend was cool.
Did Will Smith put a pair of
scissors
in the
Chevy? Charlton Heston, mother... What?
What was that?
I said Charlton Heston, mother... There was the original I Am Legend movie... Or which was, I forget what it was called, but it had Charlton Heston. It might have had a different name than I Am Legend. Anyway,
did this have anything to do with each other?
No.
They didn't, did they?
Wait, what, the movies?
Yes.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, they both had kind of night, you know, monster vampire things. They were pretty different. Anyways. Also, Charlton Heston is white. Moving on.
So, breaking news.
I'm sorry. It was something I like. I care about. And, Penny Arcade. Are we done with Penny Arcade? I'm done with Penny Arcade.
So, there's one more in PAX Australia's. Do fake gamer girls really exist? And they were going to have like a big discussion about it.
Wait, so is the discussion whether or not they they're actually fake, or that gamer girls in general exist?
Well, it's kind of a BS question, because surely there is one person out there who is a corporate shill who is pretending to like games in order to sell a product. There's probably at least one person working for a marketing company who doesn't really give a shit.
Or probably there's at least one girl who's trying to impress a dude by really fucking liking Mario for like a month, and hopefully he'll turn around, but if not, whatever.
I mean, we are talking about severe outliers, and their existence doesn't really make it anything worth discussing.
Right.
So it's one of those things where it's like, it's a bullshit question to pose in the first place.
Well, you know, you're like forcing the subject by forcing the question. It's like, do these exist? Well, obviously you're coming there with you already knew the answer to that. You say, yes, they do. Yeah.
You may as well call it come to this panel for a fight.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of angry jerks in there and a lot of angry women who are like, no, seriously, we came here for video games.
Insert the animated GIF of Michael Jackson eating popcorn here.
We're not just trying to get you into bed.
We hate
that's the thing. That panel might as well be renamed "I'm looking for a date. Come listen to me be enlightened."
Could if they were actually enlightened. I'm not entirely sure that that's the angle that the panelists are taking.
That is the angle that's kind of brilliant. They're saying, "Hey, let's get some gamer girls over here, see if they can like tell them we're jerks."
It's not that far beyond the commonality of all the PAX Australia panels at this point.
Yeah, which have seen horrible. Well, also, like, Gabe's entire defense for this entire thing is, we'd have no say over what happens to these panels. That's bullshit.
Maybe you should start saying something.
Maybe this
is a good reason to start doing that.
Right, I think somebody provided the example, like, well, what if we make a panel called We Hate Mike Karulik? And he was like, I'd be fine with that.
Laissez-faire is never a good defense for anything, because ultimately people are just going to think you're an apathetic asshole instead of like an intentional one.
Yeah, you're right. And what if they had a panel that just says, up with Nazis? What if they just had that? Like the guys at PAX Australia said, hey, you guys need to stop that.
Is Nazis. The panel called What is Up with Nazis?
No, Up with Nazis.
Oh, okay.
Like pro-Nazis.
Right.
Imagine that's like the 80s band Up with People, but with Nazis.
Right. I was imagining Jerry Seinfeld going, is the deal with Nazis?
They accidentally did the Super Bowl back in 1975. No one talks about it.
Awesome.
All right, so why don't we talk about Microsoft? And
we're not going to make the we're not going to make the joke. We're not going to make that joke.
That joke's been done to death.
No, we're not going to make the joke.
Microsoft
it's spinning in its grave.
Like,
don't do it, Mark.
Xbox X One A.
No. God damn it!
Go, Mark. Turn around now.
They reversed every single one of their DRM positions.
Oh my god. It's even the pretty ones amazing.
That were kind of like nice at the beginning, but turns out were actually crap, like the family sharing thing. Which at the end of the day, turns out apparently that thing was like an hour. You were getting an hour long demo instead of actually getting the video game.
That's the rumor, and Greenspan has been saying differently, but I mean, Greenberg, I forget which one it is.
Alan Greenspan, what is up with you and the video games, man?
Alan Greenspan was really into the X-Bone. What can you say?
But he's been saying it wasn't time limited, but he can say whatever the hell he wants right now because it's over, so they could be lying.
And they can just change their things.
So one of the big hilarious things about this is that this means Microsoft has said that this means a huge day one patch for every Xbox One buyer.
Yeah, because apparently that firmware is already done, and they've already loaded it on or something. Because otherwise, why would you not?
Firmware being manufactured on all of the Xbox Ones has the DRM, and they are currently writing a new version of the firmware that doesn't have the DRM. Like, that's the part that's not written yet.
All that surprises the hell out of me, because especially saying that, the licenses with the third parties with this agreement in place had to have been done. The third parties had been making these games with the expectation that used games were fucking dead in the water for the Xbox One.
I think they Microsoft probably wrote it out into that contract, which is, if Sony doesn't do this, then we're out.
We're and either that or
he's going to turn around and say, "Joke's on you, Microsoft. We're going to make millions with your plan."
Either that or the Xbox One reveal was so catastrophic that they were able to convince the third parties to change their contracts.
My theory is that when Sony decided not to do it, that Microsoft, like EA and
got
Ubisoft,
a standing ovation.
Well, it's not that, not so much the reaction, but EA and Ubisoft no longer, they didn't need a DRM infrastructure from Sony anymore. So they just had to make their own. And once they did that, Microsoft no longer needed to take the hit.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Sony's saying that like they're not allowing online passes on their system either, so
yeah,
they can't even do that much.
No. Sony is saying that Sony is not doing online passes.
So like, Uncharted 4 won't have one, but say Catherine 2 can.
Yeah.
Please don't do that for Catherine.
The Catherine 2 online pass.
Yeah, Sony's
rampant stealing of Catherine.
Yeah, Sony's actual position is that they're open to third parties manually implementing whatever DRM scheme they want to do,
which they couldn't stop on the PlayStation
codes in the manuals.
Well, they could only stop it through policy and contracts.
Can we just go back to codes and manuals? Like, what's on the third word on the fourth page, fifth paragraph?
I don't know. Fuck that.
Like, there'd be no way to really stop EA from putting an online pass to Battlefield 4.
Yeah.
The only way to stop them would be if you had a policy in place, and they don't.
And even then, zombies, Garden Warfare online pass, baby.
They could sell a Battlefield 4 disc, which makes you get something from buy something from PSN.
No. And well, if they had a policy, they wouldn't get certified to publish the game on the system.
But if they made Battlefield 4 only available on PSN for that system,
then it
would be DRM locked.
Yes. You could do a digital only release, and that would.
Which is one of the things that Valve that one of the reasons EA went away from Steam is that Valve feared there would be a situation where people would make free to play games, like let's say Battlefield 3 is free to play, but you pay for every little bit of it through EA.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one, like EA could do that if they wanted to on the PS4. There's nothing stopping them.
Would it be possible for like them to like release Battlefield 4 and then like all the maps were free DLC, but you had to get the DLC off of like a PlayStation Network or whatever. But it was completely free, but all the maps you had to download. Would that work?
I don't think there's anything stopping them.
Yeah, because that would tie it to one system. You couldn't.
I keep seeing people like say, "Oh, the rise of free to play. Free to play is the new thing. It's going to always happen." Does any? I mean, other than
free to play is podcast. The new 99-cent games. It's the thing where some people have found success. So the business writers are writing it up as though it is definitely the next big way to make money.
Well, I mean, there's Sony's working on a free to play game. Microsoft is also doing free to play stuff. Nintendo's doing free to play stuff, and that to me is the one that's like, hey, maybe they are onto something.
It basically just sounds like the next thing everyone's trying.
Well, yeah, it's because this happens every cycle. Waggle. It's like it was Cabela games before.
Is free to play the new Waggle?
Yeah.
Well, Waggle. I mean, like Nintendo's free to play game is going to be Steel Diver, and it's probably better to get like let's say $10.
Pay me money to play Steel Diver. God, anyway.
Some people are going to pay money for like $2 on Steel Diver. That's $2 better than nobody buying Steel Diver.
Yeah.
Which guess what? It totally happened. That game was garbage. Anyway.
You're more angry at Steel Diver than I know anything about Steel
You're
Diver.
You're more angry at Steel Diver than you are at Gabe.
Yeah.
Gabe didn't personally insult me, number one. Steel Diver did by taking away 5 minutes of my life in that demo. I'll never get that back. I'm traumatized.
Yeah, so the Microsoft stuff has just been catastrophic. I can't even believe.
I'm putting my money down now. I don't think Don Magic is going to stay in this position for very long.
Well, surely he's like apocalyptic when that entire thing went down because he was so fucking defensive of the DRM to begin with.
Well, like everything was saying that like Yeah, it was his baby. This is the thing he his vision for the next Xbox.
We're providing thousands of dollars of value.
Derp.
And then, like, all those quotes and, like, investors must have been getting insanely worried once they saw... Like, I'm sure that the reason they did this when they did was because they saw the pre-order numbers.
And the thing that gets me, like... Let's say they had the family sharing plan in place, which is apparently the only benefit we would have got out of all of this. There's absolutely no reason you can't still do that. You can just either opt into, like, the online plan, or you can download it. Like... There's no reason for the for it not to exist on the stuff that's not disc-based. They're just
it's mostly
out of spite. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, it's probably just because they had to have some way to smooth over the DRM, so they did this one thing. Mm-hmm. But if there's no DRM, this is assuming that it's actually like, you know, what they announce it as and not the 60-minute thing.
Yeah.
I mean, now that they've moderately undone what they initially did, I have to wonder where they're going to go from here. Are they going to go past reversing and start like throwing in more goodwill?
No, they're done with goodwill because this is Microsoft. What they're going to do is in a couple of years, they're going to go back to this.
Yeah, it'll be once interesting to see what happens about it, once this is all out.
Yeah,
the only thing. Well, the only thing they can do at this point is drop it $100. Otherwise, it's still like the least attractive option out there.
Well, yeah, there's still no good argument for it. And apparently, they're even saying now, like, the Kinect is not absolutely necessary for the thing to function.
Which is good, because it wouldn't fit in my living room.
Yeah.
The Kinect.
Yeah.
Or my apartment.
Houses in New Jersey and apartments in New York are not big.
Yeah. No. They suck. We have no room for this shit. Even if they say, oh, we fixed it. It's like, fuck you. I got to be 5 feet in front of that thing. I don't have 5 feet.
I have some great breaking news for you, Mark. Kinect-enabled Steel Diver.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Steel Diver.
Steel Kinect.
Steel Diver. Uninstall.
I wonder how much of this had to do, of course, with the pre-orders, but there was also that Navy Times article that came out like the day before that came out and said, listen, this thing is a total disaster for servicemen. Like, there is no way anybody can ever use this thing.
Maddow was on her show saying that this is anti-military, which is like, if you want to get any American company to do anything, use those words.
Sure, I mean,
on national television.
Yeah, if there's like some like contracts with like the U.S. military that were in jeopardy because of this.
And possibly the straw that broke the camel's back is Mark Cerny, I think, was on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying that like... Fallon said something like, oh, you can play used games on the PS4, but you can't play them on the Xbox One. And the audience cheered for the PS4.
Yeah.
Which, if you're a Microsoft executive and you're seeing that, then that's the ball game.
Like a late night show. I mean, I know Jimmy Fallon does kind of goofy video game stuff, but for Jimmy Fallon to mention this?
Well, he's actually our age range, basically.
He's a decent barometer for what the audience is thinking.
Yeah. Right. Right.
About a week after E3 every year, he does a week of having people from like Nintendo and Sony and Microsoft on to show off their new stuff.
Yeah. I enjoyed, and I know Conan does his goofy little Conan reviews a game thing.
Yeah, but who watches Conan?
That's the thing. Conan does it as a guy who doesn't play video games, play video games.
Video games
for Fallon seems genuinely interested.
Yeah. He seems sincere. Yeah. He actually might be a gamer, so yeah. Of course he's engaged.
Supposedly he hired a writer because he played Kid Icarus Uprising, and he liked the guy who wrote the jokes.
That's awesome.
Cool.
It's not like Dave, like Jay Leno trying to play video games.
Yeah. Speaking of games and writing, I know you guys talked a bit about Animal Crossing on the last episode, but I've been playing it, and this is my first foray into the game, and I really like the writing. The writing is actually really good.
Well, you listen to yourself.
I am listening to myself.
I love the Animal Crossing writing back when I used to play it.
I had never had any experience, but yeah, it's cheesy and it's just very on point and funny. Like, I caught a carp. I seized the DM. Like, that fucking stupid little thing is awesome. Yeah. I love it.
That
like
does get grating, though. Yeah. When you catch the same goddamn carp every single time.
Nintendo seems like they've been doing a really great job with the translations lately.
I think they're actually being stretched a little thin, because I feel like they're outsourcing more than they used to, and there's a lot of projects that seem to go to either Treehouse or Nintendo of Europe, and maybe that's them like being smarter about it, but it also seems like stuff is getting, I don't want to say lost, but there's no reason Bravely Default comes out 2013 in Europe and 2014 in America.
I caught a barble steed. Now I just need a barble saddle.
But it's still be called Bravely Defaulted, actually giving like a coherent name.
No, it's Bravely Default. It actually describes mechanics in the game, so they can't really change it.
Oh. Now I'm just thinking of Brave Story. Was that the name of that PSP RPG?
Brave Venture Musashi?
No. Not also a good game with the name Brave in it. No, this was like, I think Vagrant it was just
Story? It has the word Brave Story. Right?
Nope. Just Brave Story. It was a really good
Brave
PSP.
Brave Story is a game. It exists.
Yeah, it was a really good PSP RPG. I enjoyed it.
Vandal Hearts? That was a good game. There was absolutely no relation to anything we're talking about, but Vandal
Nobody
Hearts.
Nobody cares about Vandal Hearts.
There was an XBLA sequel to Vandal Hearts.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Holy shit, that was bad.
Yeah.
So, yep. I don't know Let's who you. But, okay, good. I was going to talk about Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem.
What?
Fire Emblem. I hate it.
Really?
No, I don't hate it. I'm kind of disappointed in it.
Did you start back on normal?
No, I didn't. I actually play on hard still. It's actually kind of getting easier because I pair everybody up. I'm just fine with that. But I don't know. It's just kind of lacks the charm of like Final Fantasy Tactics or like Tactics Ogre. I don't know. It just feels like it's missing something.
I defy you to tell me what Final Fantasy Tactics was about.
You can't. That's unfair because that's a Square game, and you
it's
know
about 40 hours.
I don't know. It's missing something. I don't know if it's. I can't explain it. I'm not happy with it, but you know, it's the only game of its type apparently we're ever gonna get. So I guess I gotta be happy with it because apparently strategy RPGs don't exist anymore. So.
I mean, they do. They're just all filled with lowly anime characters.
Oh yeah, I can go to Disgaea, I suppose. So. Both that's 3DS.
You played XCOM, right?
No, I didn't. I have it sitting on my hard drive.
You should play that.
I probably should.
I should also play that.
I should play more of it. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
All right.
Okay.
This break brought to you by XCOM.
Okay. We're back, and Imran has banned racing talk in this podcast forever. Matt's going to do a GT6 spoiler cast at some point, and we've all been playing Tomb Raider and Hitman. Reborn?
Yes, I said Reborn because Hitman. I was thinking of the manga.
No, you Hitman thought Rebirth, which would be kind of cool.
Hitman Rebirth.
Rebirth is also Konami's series of remakes, like 8-bit remakes for WiiWare. So there was like Castlevania Rebirth, and I think that might have been it.
It's the only Rebirth. Thanks for rebirthing it.
Rebirth actually sounds like a really awkward thing.
It does. Yeah. I agree.
It's like just that much removed from like Afterbirth, and that sounds it's awful.
So not speaking where I was of going, but
awkward
okay.
things.
Oh.
No, but no, we've actually in real life we've been playing Hitman Blood Money.
And
yes. Imran's pick for the Literates Book Club.
So I'll be honest, I picked this because I wanted motivation to play it. And I just barely played it.
Why did you want motivation to play it?
Because I've had it for a long time, and everyone's like, oh man, this game is really good. And I don't hate it. Okay. I think I got about 4 levels in.
Yeah, it's about how far I got.
I have played and beat it before. This is the first time in a long time. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I don't know if it holds
I kind of hated the mental hospital.
Hmm.
That was the third level, I think?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It's because that was the only one where I didn't feel like I had enough free range motion to be able to do anything I wanted. Like the play before that was actually really cool because you could kill those guys however you wanted.
The play was outstanding. Yeah.
But then after that, it's like, okay, you got to find this guy and he's got to give you the names of the targets. And look, they're all wearing different colors. And now you just got to like, I play these stealth games because are in ways that I don't ever want to get caught.
Right.
Right. And right. Which is one of the best things about games like this is that you have a you know, an assassination sandbox. You
right.
can plan it, you can kind of execute it in a number of different ways. You know, sure, there are some limitations, but you have a variety of options.
That was the promise of Hitman, but yeah.
Right.
The crux of that stuff is it all depends on whether or not the AI is going to treat you fairly. And I don't think Hitman's AI really does that.
No, I mean, even like the new Hitman game, I'm pretty sure I saw some clip where the guy just straight up like threw a hatchet into a guy's chest and some guy looked at him and just kind of turned around and walked away. Just no reaction.
See, it either does that, like some guy will either come right up to you and like not notice you,
right.
or they'll be like, "You're not a police officer. I know every police officer in the world." And like, exactly. Their suspicion meter just goes
right
up. What are
you, a police officer professional?
Or like there was that play sequence where I was dressed up as like a worker and I was just standing on this rafter with like a clear view of the assassination target with the gun drawn, and like the guard, like I wasn't expecting it. He opened up the door and just stared right at me and said, "Nothing odd weird going on here," and just walked right on.
Meanwhile, in like the beginning of that level, I like there's a little entrance to the side which I went down,
mm-hmm.
and like the first four times I tried that, there was just one random cop who was like, "Yeah, that I don't see why that guy is going there."
Trust him.
And then there goes my perfect run.
Meanwhile, in other video games, you could have done that, and then the guy would have just been like, "Oh, guess it was the wind."
Well, if you were crouching, then nobody would see you.
Right, then nobody sees you.
See, that play level, like, that was one of the more frustrating things, even though I really, really liked the mm-hmm. ideas of that level.
Yeah.
Like, you know the rafters you were sitting on? I put a bomb up there. So when you kill the guy on the cross, then the politician guy comes running up to the stage to see what's wrong.
Yeah.
So my idea was, okay, I'm going to detonate a bomb, and the rafters are going to come collapsing down on
yeah.
him. And they did, except behind him.
Okay, so I did that. Like, I found like the place where you're supposed to drop the bomb. So I set the bomb, and like I waited for the politician like to rush over there. I set the bomb off, and nothing happened. it wasn't like it was bugged or anything, because I did it like three separate times.
Just holding the detonator, the radio, you're just like click, click.
No, it happened. Like, it set it off, and the thing exploded, but, like, nothing happened. It's like, everybody's like, wondering, was like, what the fuck was damage. A huge explosion? Yeah. And it's obvious that something was supposed to happen because there was, like, the X on the floor, and you're supposed to drop the damn light into his head. But it just an explosion, and then wait, there's somebody, like, apparently trying to kill me. I got to run off the building. Like, well, you failed. Thanks.
The way I actually ended up doing it is that I just went to the prop room, mm-hmm. and I took all the prop guns and replaced them with real guns.
Nice. Yeah.
So then I just sat in the audience and watched them kill each other.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So how'd you kill the
bullet? They'd stop.
That's how I actually did that. I went to like the actor's room and like swapped out his gun with my real gun. So, but how did you kill the actual like
chandelier?
Okay. The only way I could figure out was like I went in and killed him, and then I waited behind the stage, and then just as soon as he like came within range, I just shot him in the head. And for whatever reason, nobody thought to look behind there at the worker who was standing like 3 feet behind with like a smoking gun in his hand. He just like left.
Yeah, it must have been a rat.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing for me,
exhaustion.
The weirdest thing for me in that game is given modern day trappings of video games is movement.
Yeah.
Like crawling, you know, out of a window is like three toggle buttons while you watch an animation. Which I don't know. I guess is sort of refreshing to see somebody that isn't just like a Olympic level gymnast slash parkour practitioner.
He's very methodical.
Right, he is very methodical. So I that was one thing that was just like, this is so rigid.
Well, it's really weird, especially coming after The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Because The Last of Us is a game where you can only really deal with one person at a time.
Yeah.
And Hitman is, I feel like it's kind of in that same vein, but not probably for the same reasons.
Yeah. Right, you have to set it up.
I don't know. Whenever I was playing, I didn't, like, anytime, like, things would go bad, I'd say, fuck it, I'm just going to restart from the last save, because I didn't want to engage in a firefight. Yeah, I don't want to start a firefight, which is weird, because the rewards you get for, like, doing well are guns.
Well, can we talk about how fucking awful the map is?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I actually do appreciate
it's like the marquee tag times a million.
I do appreciate that the building layout actually looks like a building.
Right.
Like in every level. Everything like there's symmetrical sides, everything you can go through one side just as easily as you can go through the other.
There's completely useless like side corridors that serve no purpose whatsoever, but would be there in a real building.
Yeah.
Hey, at least you could hide in them.
But as far as trying to tell what was what on the map, it was, wait, what is going on in this thing? I felt like I was...
Also, the AI is just sometimes really stupid. Like, the very first guy you have to assassinate, you can just drop a coin near him and then run to the other side of the level, and he'll follow you trying to return your coin.
What?
It's hilarious.
What?
Like, so I just, like, his entourage will not come with him, so he'll just keep running after you, and then I just pushed him off the ledge.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's amazing. What do you mean? You don't mean like the first tutorial level on the docks, do you?
No, the
okay.
Is it Mexico?
Yeah, okay. Mexico.
Yeah.
Also, like the tutorial, also known as the most racist thing ever in the history of the world. Oh my god.
Hitman is pretty racist.
I'm going to assume the Mexican level is also very racist. I didn't know because I don't speak Spanish. I'm just going to assume they were talking horrible.
No, but you can assume that because the whole time in the background you just hear doo 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 doo.
Yeah.
God, come on, Hitman. What is... No.
What's going on, Hitman? No, Hitman.
See, that's the thing about... Pretty hilarious if you could, and that in the Mexico level, if you could, like, you go around and you hack all the clocks so it becomes siesta and everyone goes to sleep and just murder the guy. Just, no? Okay. It's okay. I have a friend that just moved to New Mexico, so I can say things like that.
Oh, yeah. You're totally, yeah. You're fine. Yeah.
New Mexico is practically Mexico.
It's practically Mexico.
That is the thing about stealth games, is that playing older ones, it's like, why are you so backwards? And it's because it was made a long time ago.
Yeah.
Stealth games, like, those live and die by their mechanics, and they very rarely do things so uniquely that there's a reason to go back and play older ones.
Well, also, just, they've been so streamlined since the beginning. I guess, like, the first stealth game would probably have been Thief, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Mm,
probably the first good stealth game, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, like,
the really big one.
Yeah.
The first one I enjoyed, though, was Splinter Cell. But, yeah,
That's true.
Yeah, everything is just so streamlined now. It doesn't even feel like The Last of Us turns out to be this incredible stealth game that you don't know it until, like, halfway through it. And it just, like, it's the bullshit that it just completely gets rid of, you don't ever have to worry about again. Like, the amazing thing about it is, like, you don't have to, like, stare at your mini-map to see, like, where everything's at. You know, but in a game like this, you have to... I forget how you go about it. Is there, like, some kind of, like... In this, there's not, like, a detective vision in this, but there is a way, like, you can hear, like, everyone coming up.
In Hitman?
Right. Yeah. I think...
Not that I noticed.
No, I don't think so.
All right. I might
be missing out on some big feature.
Yeah, I think you could, like, hear footstep or something. I might be mistaken.
By listening with your ears into your headphones or speakers, maybe.
Oh, I was wondering what the weird noises were coming from.
Are those footsteps?
Yeah.
There's some way you can hear footsteps. Yeah. Just by listening for footsteps.
I did notice, like, when I was playing, as soon as I figured out how to do the first person mode, I never left first person mode. I don't know if anybody else did that.
I say third person.
Yeah, okay. I did as well.
Because its movement seems so weird in third person mode after I, like, pulled back out of that. So, I don't know.
So that game is weird on PC because there's no 360 controller support, even though I'm sure that game's on 360.
Yeah, it totally was on 360. But I had to go about and get Xpadder and to get this stupid thing to work because fuck using this on a keyboard.
Yeah.
And this is the weirdest thing. It would take, like, of course, I'm not a game designer, so who knows? Maybe this actually take, like, $1 million. The thing's been out since 2006. Just put a damn controller support in it. How difficult could it be?
Well, for the Xbox controller, there's probably some sort of framework that makes it happen that they have to go patch in.
Surely they already have it. It's like they want to make out, like, $5 more off the game. Just do it. Stop being lazy, developers.
Or they could just sell it to you as is for $5.
Yeah, which actually totally worked too.
So I also have Hitman Absolution, and I think I'm probably going to try that game eventually.
Is that the new one?
Yeah, that's the newest one.
Okay.
Now, that one didn't actually play like a stealth game, or like it was really stupid stealth, right?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I think they were saying, like if you load after, like, a save, like, all the guys behind you, like, respawn or something.
Oh, yeah. I think I heard that, too.
Yeah. Just seems like a
shame. Come on, games. Get with the program.
It is kind of show, like, the fall of, like, these stealth stalwarts, like Splinter Cell, like, for the past couple games, including, like, Blacklist, just has stopped being, like, a stealth game or, like... Well. Hitman.
Even Metal Gear hasn't been really a stealth game since 2.
No, not
3.
Really.
You could run and gun it just as easily.
Yeah, and the only thing keeping you from doing this, guys, is the shooting is really clunky in it.
Yeah.
But Hitman, apparently the isn't a very good stealth game either. But all these other games have come out this generation, like Dishonored, The Last of Us, like the Arkham games, have just been, or like Deus Ex, the latest one, that does really good first-person stealth. Mm-hmm. All these games do incredible stealth in new and different ways, and like the old games that had stealth, that were built on stealth, they abandoned stealth. And they're, like, very just watered down.
Oh, you mean the new iterations of these games?
Yeah, like the Splinter Cell and Hitman have, like, mostly abandoned stealth. I guess the developers just said it was too difficult or it wasn't selling enough.
Maybe just the audience split on different, like, Metal Gear, maybe they didn't like stealth, but they liked craziness. Yeah. So they just focused on that.
It'd be interesting to see how Steve, Steve comes out.
Steve.
Or Steve, is how Steve handles it. Steve probably
yeah, Steve. Steve. No, Steve. Did Steve tell you that? What kind of rapper name is Steve?
So Steve, we want to come on the podcast, tell us how you handle it, then we'll be happy to hear yep. it.
Go on, Steve. Man up, Steve. By the way, not hearing good things out of like Thief 4. Like,
yeah, apparently, I've been saying this for a while, of like, the Game Informer demo was apparently just built for Game Informer, and like, you actually can't play the game that way.
Oh, wow, that's great. Awesome.
So, we'll see when it comes out.
Bad things about Steve.
Steve's
Steve, broken. Steve, I know what you were doing. It's not cool.
Come on, Steve. The mythical fifth member of the Free to Play podcast. Or Steve.
Steve.
To Steve.
To Steve.
All right, so yeah, that was Hitman.
Yep, Hitman. It's an iconic series. I don't know.
You know, it should have been more iconic. That's the thing. Like, this thing, like...
Well, it's got two movies, isn't it?
Yeah, but they were Uwe Boll movies, weren't they?
No, I think they were, like, legit, like, Hollywood productions.
Timothy well, Oliphant.
They were, like, Jason Statham movies, though, right? At the very least?
No, nope, Timothy yeah. Oliphant.
Oh, really?
Whatever.
Yep, yeah. he was the hitman.
Like, Statham will go in anything. Why couldn't they just get him? It's like...
Because they didn't want Statham.
But he like, works for, like, $5. It's perfect. He's already bald. Whatever.
Could we hire him?
Yeah, totally. We just got to make a script.
We'll bring him on the podcast.
Jason Statham as Steve.
As Steve. Anyone been playing anything new or interesting?
I've been playing New Super Luigi U.
I didn't even know that was a thing that existed.
That is DLC for New Super Mario Bros. U.
Got it.
Is it different enough to warrant the $20?
No, it's not different. That really, it's just hard and short.
Ooh, sorry.
So how many levels do you think it is? Like, or how long?
It's the number of levels is the same as New Super Mario Bros. U. Okay. It's like literally on the same map.
So it doubles the content.
But each level is shorter and harder. They're all, the timer is only set at 100 seconds. So maybe, I would say about half the size of each Mario level. But way, way harder. Way harder. Like, I got an actual game over in this game.
Oh, dang.
Granted, I'm trying to find star coins in each level, so maybe...
Speaking of what we're talking about right now, we should announce what the next Illiterous Book Club is, which is Matt Pierce's pick. So, Matt Pierce, yeah. Over to you.
I'm torturing Mark by forcing him to play a GameCube game, but it's kind of brought up by Brian linking an article on Twitter today about... how underappreciated Mario Sunshine is.
Yeah, it was an article on Eurogamer, a retrospective on Super Mario Sunshine.
So we're going to play Super Mario Sunshine.
For the record, I played Super Mario Sunshine before playing Super Mario 64.
Yep.
That could always be Brian's choice next.
Yep. Too much. Oh, man, that Mario. Would be torturous.
At least like his first like idea, he didn't go with that, which would have been in that like the Invisible War.
That wasn't my first idea. I just saw that it was...
Yeah. This actually might be the first time you've acknowledged that game's existence.
I said so. Invisible War. I didn't say anything about the game. Certainly. I said like it was. I said Invisible War. What about it?
Matt, change it
well,
right
I saw that it's 10 years old this year.
Yeah.
But a lot of things are 10 years old this year. We're not going to play those either.
Yeah. God.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
There's a lot of terrible stuff that's 10 years old. I'm not going to force you all to play Go-Go Hypergrind.
I'd probably play that.
All the grinding. What about you, Mark? You been playing much?
I've been playing Rouge Legacy. No, wait. Rogue Legacy. Rogue Legacy, yes. The demo.
Rouge Legacy, yeah. the video game of Sarah Palin's life.
Oh,
so Rogue Legacy is really, really good.
It's insanely good, and we're just playing the demo. So the full version is going to be fucking incredible. It's like the best like Castlevania
end.
I would say it's more like Ghosts and Goblins than Castlevania.
But it's not that difficult. No. Mm-hmm.
This is the 2D side-scrolling thingamajig that I know Rock, Paper, Shotgun has been raving about a lot.
Yeah, it's by Square Games. It has like a tile set of rooms, but like every dungeon is laid out differently, and you'd have like every room like is, I don't know if your procedure generator is just random, but everything is completable. Like all the jumps are like always completable. Yeah. All the enemies are completely are beatable.
So that's cool. I'm gonna get that game.
Yeah, it's outstanding. Unlike Imran saying, it's reminding him more like a Ghost of Goblins. I've never been able to enjoy Ghost and Goblins because it's just like too hard and too frantic.
It's the way the enemies move, particularly that they like they do this kind of wild gestating art. I don't know how to put it. Like they move just outside of your range.
Mm-hmm. They move off screen a lot.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this looks like a bullet hell dungeon crawler 2D.
Some of it is. Yeah. Like that first boss I wasn't able to beat the first time I saw him.
Man, you can have babies.
Like the first night, like the first couple of nights, you probably won't be able to beat that first boss. But yeah, that's the whole conceit of the game. It's a roguelike. Like every time you die, like you play as your kid. Oh,
this and, like, is amazing. Yeah, you get like
three kids that you can choose from.
Well, it's interesting because like essentially the game is basically skill limited. Yep. Like if you wanted to the first night, there's no reason you shouldn't be able dead. You should be able to avoid everything technically.
There are random modifiers, like you can be a giant or you can have irritable bowel syndrome.
So that's the IBS thing is like where I was like, okay, I'm not sure that every joke these guys have is
that seems a little odd.
Most of them don't do anything like baldness or being gay or like irritable bowel syndrome actually have no impact on the
male
game.
Male pattern baldness would be amazing.
You get bald and you can be somebody that sometimes a lady gets male pattern baldness. You got anything to say about that?
She has a beard.
Yeah, sometimes she has a beard. More often than not, she has a beard. It's just the way these things work out. But it's like the dwarf, like he doesn't trigger like pressure traps, like those little spike traps. He doesn't, it took a week for me to realize that and I never would have.
I see. So I did. I'm sorry. I just watched the trailer, and at the end of it, there's this flash game that's called "Don't Poop Your Pants."
Uh huh.
And it's a text based adventure that's about not pooping your pants.
Uh huh.
And they showed a clip of that at the end of the Rogue Legacy trailer. So I guess they have some relation to that developer. Maybe they are the same developer.
There's a lot of like weird little like shout outs to like other indie games in it. Like you'll sometimes enter a room and randomly there'll be a screenshot from like another video game entirely. Just because.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Silent is great. Like it's going to be amazing when it finally comes out, and it'll come out in like 4 days apparently. So
yeah. It's too late if you're listening to this now, but there was a pre-order sale for $10.
Yeah. Now you got to pay $15, losers.
Whatever, I'm giving them more money. Joke's on you.
I gave them the money directly, so it's pretty much a wash.
So speaking of little kind of dungeon crawly games, I've been playing a game on my iPhone called Deep Dungeons of Doom.
Okay.
That's really good. It's got really nice art. It's really lovely, very cohesive. And it's a dungeon crawler / RPG sort of. There are a couple different classes. It's actually, the game is free. Oh, excuse me. And then there's like, you know, six extra dungeons unlockable in game, as well as an endless dungeon for $2.99 or something.
So it's a mobile game is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a mobile game, but it's a good one. And, okay. So the way the game works, you fight one kind of enemy at a time. It's kind of not side scrolling. I mean, it's presented to you in a 2D perspective, but, you know, there's no moving or anything. You have an attack and you have a block, and it's basically timing based. You kind of watch the enemies, their animations, and they attack you and stuff. And you work your way through these dungeons, like you finish a level and then you swipe up to go down to the next, which is a neat little, it's the littlest thing, but it's a really, really nice touch that you like swipe up to go down to the next little area. And it's pretty good. Like you earn gold in game. Of course, there's in-app purchasable gold as well, and you can buy yourself upgrades for the characters, for the different classes. But it's the perfect kind of on-the-go game that you could, long-term play as well, just with all the unlockables and upgrades to your characters. So I recommend it. Deep Dungeons of Doom.
So Brian, let me ask you something because you keep on track of these mobile games more than the rest of us. Like the latest Humble Bundle, have you seen it yet?
Is that Android? All Android?
Yeah, it's I think it's
I know the most recent one was Android.
I don't. It had like, but the game like Stealth Bastard Deluxe and Frozen Synapse, so it was like worth picking up for like $5.
I played Stealth Bastard Deluxe when Big Dave, who we've talked about or mentioned or linked to various things, runs a little site called Big Dave is Cheap, does a lot of good video content.
Friend of the cast.
He had a little contest with a speedrunner Stealth Bastard Deluxe, and it's really good. It controls very well, and it's a neat game. So I think that and Frozen Synapse I own but have not played.
Okay.
But if you get it, I think it is a multiplayer and we can play it. So yeah, I would say that's totally good. And Aquaria even is a pretty good game.
I know people that they love Aquaria as one of their favorite games.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like one of the first kind of 2D but beautifully illustrated computer games, I want to say. So
have those developers done anything else after that, or?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if they have. Bitblot. It doesn't look like it.
That's strange, because Aquaria was 2007?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Was it originally a mobile game, or?
No, it was originally a computer game, and I guess they just ported it to Android / iPad.
Where it plays well. Okay.
Yep. So what about you, Matt?
I finished up Remember Me, and... Oh. Yeah,
you wish you could forget it. Sorry,
made that joke last week.
You made that joke. I even know that, and I wasn't there.
Damn it!
So basically, you just forgot to
remember that he made the joke last week.
Right, just do the Wayne's World.
So the art direction in that game is phenomenal.
It looks like it.
That game is absolutely beautiful right up until the end.
What happens at the end?
At the very end. After you beat the final boss.
By the way, this is a spoiler cast for Remember Me. Now,
wait, were you saying
a little speech and then the credits roll for 20 minutes or so?
Okay, no, I think he was saying that the art style is good all the way through. Not like there's something that happens at the end that the art style is all of a sudden shitty.
Right up to
an insurance commercial.
Right.
But that script is kind of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a great world that needs a different game.
My problem with that game is that it's boring. Does that get fixed at some point?
It does not become exciting, no.
It's just that traversal is so mind-numbingly boring. Like, there's no skill involved in it, and whatever. There's not even enough set piece.
Worse or better than Hitman Blood Money?
Traversal or just in general?
Traversal.
I would say
it's pretty easy and straightforward.
For the squandered potential, it's probably worse.
Yeah. Okay. The traversal is a lot like Uncharted, except that they literally overlay... Like, part of the thing that they do with the visual style in that game is that there's augmented reality all over the place, and the idea is that it's coming through your brain implant, so you just see it as though it's part of the real world.
Yeah.
So you're walking around and there's like text in front of a store that says, sorry, we're closed. And looks like it's standing there, you know?
You know, I saw I think I watched the Giant Bomb quick look of it. And I saw that and it didn't seem like they make it very obvious that it's what you're seeing through her eyes. I feel like that's hard to achieve in a third person game.
Also, it's super goofy dumb sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you meet this guard robot at the very beginning of the game, and when he alerts, he does like this cartoon scream thing.
Yeah, it's like 90s video of a screaming mouth appears in front of its head.
Yeah,
that's really dumb.
I don't know what their intention was, but it just kind of made me laugh at the game.
Did you also die in that opening sequence?
No, I don't think so.
I died twice running down that hallway away from the robot because when the camera turned, I got stuck on a crate.
No crates.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Uncontrollable cameras. But at any rate, the platforming is all very, very obvious and linear because there are augmented reality orange arrows showing you where it jumps to.
I saw that.
That's a stupid thing about the game is that you have this amazing Neo-Paris area, like this world that you can explore, and you spend all your time in alleys.
You can't even really control the camera to look around where you are.
Yeah, you only see what they want you to see, and sometimes that's extremely literal because they show you screens of, oh, you should go here to find an upgrade. They show you a picture of the place, so you go there, you get the upgrade, and that's all. That was the only thing the version was worth. Yeah,
it seems like an open world Assassin's Creed style game in the place of Remember Me.
Well, an open world game wouldn't have worked with the detail they put into this. Like, it's considerably more detailed than an Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah.
But it could have been more open than this.
It didn't need to be linear Uncharted. A more linear Uncharted.
Wow. That's
that's. But there are really annoying things, like when you go into Saint Michel, and you kind of walk into a plaza, and you have to go left because it's kind of like a crossroads. So you come in one direction, you have to go left, but they make you, they like have a barricade so that you have to walk around the plaza in order to get to where you're going. So at least you see some of it. And then they have an arrow pointing to the right that says scenic view or something like that. And you try to walk down there and there's people blocking the steps that you can't get around.
Ew.
And it's like, why did you put the sign up? Why did you promise me a scenic view and then not show me anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. But but it's obvious the barricade that's in the way there is just to make you spend more time getting from point A to point B. But eventually the traversal gets easier. You just kind of get used to the way it works, and even though it's not good traversal, you just kind of hop through everything.
Does easier mean dismissible or more engaging?
It becomes a little more interesting when you gain the ability to lock and unlock doors. So at least there's some planning involved, and there are there are sections where you have to turn on lifts to create platforms. So you have to have some idea of what you're building, but it's you basically put the lifts in the places where they need to be, and then it's linear jumping.
Sounds very generic.
Yeah, and it kind of gets annoying when there are things where you obviously could make that jump if only they'd put a little orange arrow there.
A speed boost.
Like, well, it's more like there's
just telling you where the pixel is at to jump at.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's like you'll come up to a knee-high ledge that any one of us could have just walked up onto, but you can't jump up there in the game because there's nothing. Like, it's not one of the designated platforming points.
Okay, we've talked about Remember Me for 2 weeks, which I feel is more than that game deserves.
It's more than that the designers of the game talked about the game.
It's an interesting game. I mean, Imran, if you have it, did you buy it or Redbox it?
Redbox.
Never mind then. I was going to say, if you outlay the money, then finish it, because it's worth seeing.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe Steam sale might be soon, so...
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Steam Summer Sale coming up. Oh my god.
And before we go, Imran and I really want to do a spoiler cast for the Last of Us. The only problem is only Imran and I have defeated the game, and it's probably not going to be likely that Brian or Matt get around to that, if ever. If you're listening to this right now, we would like to, and you want to join us for the spoiler cast, let us know. We'll see what we can do. But we're just looking for a third, maybe even a fourth.
Okay, good. I'm glad we specified. Yeah. All of a sudden, there's a podcast with 80 people.
Yeah, on it. With 80 people. Yeah. We'll have the community. Like, if there's 100 people, everyone will join in. But yeah,
we'll have a PAX panel about The Last of Us and how women are ruining video games.
Yes.
Hosted by Anita Sarkeesian.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll work out badly. All right. We've talked long enough.
Bye, everyone.
About everything. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.